is on the move again tonight. And so I'll be teaching tonight. So all you prayer warriors, please pray for me. Amen. I believe the Lord has given me a good word for you tonight, and I can't wait to share it. All right. First, let me thank Pastor Nate for allowing me the opportunity to share tonight. It is an honor to serve with Pastor Nathan Elms. He is just such an amazing brother and pastor. So I honor him tonight for that. And I want to welcome all of you to our midweek Bible study. It is a testament to your love of the Word of God, right? And I thank you for joining us. All right, let me jump right into our text, Romans 8, 31 and 35, 36, 37. I'll read a few texts, a few verses there. And then we're going to jump down to Revelation 12 and 2 Timothy chapter number 3. So there you go, Sister Ivy. Got all your verses. Let me begin at Romans 8, 31. What shall we say to these things? What then shall we say to these things? Paul writes to the church at Rome. He says, if God is for us, then who can be against us? Verse 35, he says, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, shall distress, persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written? Verse 37, yet in all these things, Paul writes, we are more than conquerors. I want you to hold on to that. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Now go to the next text, Revelation 12, verse 11. John writes, and they overcame him, speaking of the dragon, the devil, the tempter, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. The blood of the Lamb, Jesus did that, and the word of the testimony, that's what you and I get to do. So they overcame the devil by two things. One that Jesus did, and one you and I don't have to do. All right? And the third text I have, 2 Timothy 3, verse 10 through 12. Paul, again, is writing to his young minister in the gospel, and he says, but, verse 10, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, love and perseverance. Verse 11, he says, persecutions even, my afflictions. He says, which happened to me while I was at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, he writes. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Out of them all, the Lord delivered me. And so I want to use for a subject tonight the topic of overcoming adversity. Now, we all know that we will all face difficulty, adversity at some point in our lives, whether at home, at church, or at work. Difficulty and challenges will come from all sides, whether in personal relationships. Sometimes these are things within our sphere of control, and sometimes they're outside of our control. By the way, you know, difficulty is no respecter of persons. However, overcoming those difficulties is the mark of a person who is going to be successful. Amen? And so that word overcome to me means to succeed in dealing with a problem or difficulty by prevailing over it. It could also mean to defeat an opponent or an enemy. The synonym that I like for overcoming is the word conquer. We found it in that verse that I read, Romans 8, 37, where Paul declared that when we submit to the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, we become more than conquerors. And as a result, we can overcome just about any adversity, he writes. Not by our ability or skill or by our will, but by the power and Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me share one example with you. In nature, we see that not only animals, but insects and everything else overcome difficulties in very unique and interesting ways. So do you know how pearls are made? I mean, pearls that go around the neck, that adorn the neck. Pearls are made by the oyster figuring out how to overcome adversity, an irritation, if you will, a difficulty. It's made through suffering. The oyster gets a grain of sand stuck in its shell. He realizes that he can't get it out. And just like when you get a pebble in your shoe, right, it quickly becomes uncomfortable and irritating. And if you don't get it out quickly enough, it may blister your foot, right? And so the oyster protects itself and begins to overcome the source of its irritation, right? Let's call it its source of its suffering with many, many, many layers of protective mineral coating called calcium carbonate. And over time, this forms into a smooth, round, translucent pearl, which no longer irritates the oyster. And so the oyster did what he or she had to do to overcome that irritation. He or she adapted and then overcame. And so similarly, when we face difficulty in the flesh, whether it's with a rival or an opponent, a nemesis of some sort, the way we respond to that difficulty, that challenge, that irritation, the way we respond as followers of Jesus Christ makes all the difference in the world. You can either become like a Pharisee who gives a hypocritical witness of what following Jesus looks like, or you can reflect the light, grace, and forgiveness of the Lord, because after all, this is your witness. This is your life, right? And so the way you respond will either attract people to you or repel people from you. Remember Peter and Jesus, when Peter said to the Lord Jesus, "Lord, my brother has become an irritant. How often must I forgive my brother?" This is in Matthew 18:21. "Should I forgive him 7 times? Jesus said, "Well, you ought to forgive your brother not just 7 times, but 70 times 7. That number was not just the math of 490 times. It represented an unlimited number of times, is what Jesus was saying. As many as are necessary to convince your brother that the grace of God is now ruling inside of you. You know, you no longer react out of anger. You no longer fly off the handle, as we sometimes say. People need to know that you are being transformed by the Spirit of the Lord. And they will see it through your actions. And they'll see it through your responses, your words, even your expressions of love. Because what we know is adversity can often pave the way to success. The fact that you have a difficult thing going, if you interview a lot of successful people, they'll tell you, "It wasn't always easy. I didn't get here like that. I had to put in my time. I had to pay my dues. I had to overcome obstacles," if you will. Let me tell you a case study of a man that you may have heard about. 150 years ago, 1879 to be exact, he was going to lose his little business. He had a little company that he was building. And he says, "It got so bad that I was paying the sheriff $5 a day to postpone closure on my little factory. Then came the gas man, and because I couldn't pay his bill, he promptly cut off the gas to my factory." So he said, "I had no light in my little factory in the midst of some very important experiments that I was doing at the time. And to have the gas turned off and have my factory be dark made me very mad." He said, "Immediately, I began to think about how to overcome my difficulty. I began to read upon gas techniques and the economics of illumination. And I resolved," he said, this is his words, "that I would try to see if electricity couldn't be made to replace gas, and that I would give those gas people a run for their money." You would know his name as Thomas Edison, the inventor of the light bulb and the founder of General Electric Company. Thomas Edison was inspired by his difficulty, by his predicament, if you will, that he found himself in, to invent something, to come up with an idea that has given success to our life and to our country, not only our country, but to the world. He later wrote that problems are a wake-up call for creativity. And if you choose to wake up, your choice, if you choose to wake up, your problems will prompt you to use your God-given abilities, rally your resources, and move forward towards solutions. Amen. Amen. I like that. And I recall, what was it, Plato that says, necessity is the mother of inventions, right? Necessity is the mother of inventions. When a Sunday school teacher asked a little girl, "Who made you?" She replied, "Well, God made part of me." The teacher smiled and asked, "What do you mean? What do you mean?" The little girl replied, "Well, God made me little, but then I growed the rest of myself." I like that so much. She realized that she was now responsible for her personal growth. Her personal growth was her responsibility. So we are told that in many cases, victory is born out of struggle. And success cannot be achieved without experiencing some level of adversity. Those of you who are in business, or maybe your business is sports or whatever it is, think about that for a moment. We have to struggle. Muscles don't grow without struggle, right? You got to put them on the struggle of weights or push-ups or whatever. You got to stress them in order for them to grow, right? When a sapling tree struggles to take root in the ground, right, and sprouts and fight its way through the compacted earth, overcoming stones and other roots and other obstacles in its quest to reach the air and sunlight, bursting through the earth. When that sapling tree struggles against the wind and the rain, storm and frost, when that sapling encounters and overcomes the attacks of insects and birds who take a bite out of its leaf, when it struggles through the scorching heat and recovers from the trampling feet that steps on it, it fights off the competition to survive. But eventually it begins to climb higher and higher. If it is successful in overcoming those difficulties, it starts to grow higher and higher. You can be sure of at least five things. Number one, and studies have proven this to be true, the core and root system of that sapling, when it becomes a tree, will be stronger. Yeah. And if it's one of those trees that has a bark, the bark and character will be hardened and be more resilient. Often, its fruit will be sweeter. Its timber will fetch a higher value. And it will provide strength, comfort, and shelter to many. Do you see? The bottom line is success cannot be achieved without overcoming some adversity. And so let me say to those of you who find yourself in a tough spot right now, whether it's looking for a job and can't find one, whether you and your spouse are having a little bit of a tussle, that's my dad's word, a little bit of a tussle. When we read in James 1, the Bible tells us, count it all joy, my brothers, when you go into trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith will produce patience. And verse 4 of James 1 says, and let that patience have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And so if you're going through a tough time, don't run away from it. Be patient with your difficulty. Learn from it. I feel like sometimes that's God trying to put muscle on us. Sometimes that's God trying to build character, not burn you down, but enable you to develop experiences that will enable you to be successful in the future. In other words, the challenges to your faith will strengthen you it will make you more resilient, like that tree, like that sapling. It will enable you to get better and stronger for the next challenge. Yeah. So my brother, my sister, if you happen to be in a spot of adversity at the moment, please don't give up. Please don't give up. Don't allow your faith to fail or be shattered because of this moment of struggle. Dig in. Learn. Strengthen your resolve and allow your faith to soar. God will give you the strength, the ability to be developed by this challenge. You will grow in new ways. You will put on new muscle. You'll become more resilient. You'll learn new things for the next challenge. And you will emerge as an overcomer. Amen. I remember years and years ago now, I had a boss. I was in training at the time. I was running a training center for a Japanese company. And I had a manager that came from the outside. And she didn't like a bone in my body, man. She didn't like me for whatever reason. Maybe I reminded her of an ugly brother or something. And she just leaned on me every opportunity she got. She leaned on me. And I remember talking to the Lord at my desk one day. I had my little Bible with me. In fact, it was this little Bible right here that I always carry with me. And I put it on my desk and I talked to the Lord about, and I said, Lord, you're going to have to help me because, you know, this is something that I have never experienced. I've always been sort of, you know, the favored one, if you will, because I'm always in compliance. I don't give trouble at work, right? And I talked to the Lord about it. And she brought me into her office and she said, you know, Don, here's what I'm observing. And she tells me what she's observing. And then she said, I want you to turn into it. I will never forget that. She said, put your head down and turn into the force of the wind that was coming in my direction. She was telling me to face the struggle. Face the struggle. We were launching some new products. We were onboarding some new instructors that I was responsible for training. And I was finding difficulty doing that. And she was just like, turn into it. Don't turn sideways. It'll knock you over. Turn into it. And even though she was an irritant, man, that was some good advice. I've learned from that over the years. And so whenever I come to a difficulty, I turn into it. When we run away from problems, I find that it only, you know, compounds the problem, if anything. Right? Jesus said in John 16, I have said these things to you that in me you will have peace. In the world, you're going to have tribulation, but take heart. I've overcome the world. Right? So I don't know. That has ministered to me over the years. It really has. And I want to share that with you. When you get to a point where you've turned to the left and you've turned to the right and you don't find any solutions, lean into your problem and ask God for help. His name was Jimmy, this kid, right? His mother shouted up the stairs, come on, son, it's time to get up and go to school. But Jimmy wasn't happy. He was upset about something. He pulled the duvet covers over his head and ignored his mother calling. A few minutes later, she rocketed up to his door and knocked on his door in a much firmer voice and called out, come on, son, you've got to go to work. You got to get up. Otherwise, you're going to be late. Jimmy replied from under the covers, I'm not going to school. In fact, I'm never going again. Mom says, don't be silly. You've got to go to school. I'm not going, was his response. He went on to say, there are nearly 1,000 kids in that school and they all hate me. Every last one of them. Even the teachers and the caretakers hate me. And every day I end up in some sort of fight or conflict or challenge. So give me a good reason why I should go. His mom said, well, I'll give you more than that. I'll give you two reasons. First, because you're 42 years old now. And secondly, because you are the headmaster of that school. So you got to go. Right? What am I trying to say? Don't look for an easy way out. You've got responsibilities. Lean into it. The point is, we can run from difficult challenges. They may be specifically designed to help you, to give you what you will need for the next obstacle. God may be preparing you for the future. I used to tell my Sunday school students, when I used to teach the preteens and the teenage years, I would say the challenges and temptations you're facing right now, they may just be preparing you for the next one that you can't see coming around the corner. The one that you don't expect. The one that you can't see. So learn everything you can in this difficult challenge. Learn everything you can in this tough time. Amen. I hope that is ministering to somebody right now, because it sure ministered to me. I have this poem that I found that I thought was instructive or helpful. It was called Good Timber. Notice the tree that never had to fight for sun and sky and air and light. It stood out in the open plain and always got its good share of rain. That tree never became a forest king, but it lived and died a scrubby old thing. The man who never had to toil from the common soil, who never had to win his share of sun and sky and light and air, never became a manly man, but lived and died as he began. In the same way, good timber does not grow in ease. The stronger the wind, the tougher the trees. The farther sky, the greater length. The more the storm, the more the strength. By sun and cold, by rain and snow, the tree or in man, good timber grows. Where thickest stands the forest grow, we find the patriarch of both. And they hold conversation with the stars, whose broken branches now show the scars of many winds and much of strife. This is the common law of life. And so you will find this. I love that poem. It was by Douglas Mallock, was the writer of that. We will grow and we will find difficult times. But look, like this timber, the stronger the wind, the tougher the trees, the farther sky, the greater length, the more the storm, the more the strength, by sun and cold, by rain and snow, in tree or in man, good timber grows. Good timber comes from struggle. And it's the same thing with us. 2 Peter chapter 1 tells us that according to his divine power, has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue. Verse 4, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partaker, watch this, of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. Let me remind you of your calling. When the Lord called you and gave you his spirit that he gave you, made you a partaker of his divine nature. It is that same spirit that will enable you to overcome the difficulties and challenge that you will face in life. It is that same spirit that will say to you, do this and not that. It is that same spirit that will launch us into glory at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, where we will meet him in the air. It is that same spirit that forms our faith in the Lord. That is our superpower. That is our superpower. God is on our side. The Bible tells us that we are well able to overcome any and every challenge to our faith. Anything that the enemy places in your path, the Bible says we are free to pursue any goal, to climb any heights, to persevere over any difficulty, because we are victorious through him who loved us. Amen. The scripture is filled with examples of men and women overcoming difficult challenges to their faith. And it is through those difficulties they were able to grow and become victorious. And I can read scores of them. Hebrews 11 lists probably 20 of them. The Bible says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house, right? By which also he condemned the world. And he became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. He had never seen rain before. He had every reason to doubt. But he overcame the mockings. He became the unbelief in his own heart when God says, do this. And is remembered for not wavering until he overcame every obstacle and built the ark. Amen. The same thing with Brother Abraham. When he was called to go out to a place which he should receive his inheritance, the Bible said he obeyed and went out, not knowing where he was going. But if you keep reading down to the ending of verse chapter 11 of Hebrews, the Bible says they all died in faith, not having received the promises. They saw them afar off. But the Bible says they were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. Have you ever seen your future afar off? You were able to visualize what it was that God was doing in your life, something that God was preparing for you. I imagine that that's how it was with Abraham. The Bible says when he was tried to offer back up Isaac, his only son, really, right? Yes, there was Ishmael, but Isaac was the guy, right? The Bible says, and he had that had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son. That was difficulty. That was adversity. That was an obstacle. But the Bible says in his heart, he had already killed Isaac. He had already killed his son of promise, and God honored that. And there are many others that persevered through their difficult challenges. By faith, Moses, the Bible says, the initiator of the Passover. And the Lord told him to slay the animal and paint the blood over the doorpost, sprinkle the blood, lest the destroyer of the firstborn of Egypt should also destroy them. He persevered. He didn't question it. That was a challenge to his faith. And as a result, they passed through the Red Sea on dry land. I want to encourage you tonight that God wants to do something with you. You're not in the church, in the family of God, just because you have a purpose. You have a purpose. And the challenges that you are facing, they are temporary. The challenges that are before you, they may just be preparing you for what God has in store for you. And so I'm encouraging you to persevere. I'm encouraging you to stand the course. I'm encouraging you to hang in there. The Bible says, having provided some better things for us, that they, those heroes and heroines of Hebrews 11, God having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So persevere, overcome your adversity, overcome your difficulty, push through your challenge. And God came to their rescue and gave them the strength, the faith, if you will, to overcome their difficulty, their challenge. And I submit to you that same faith and strength is available to each and every one of you who are recipients of the Holy Spirit. Nurture the Spirit of God in your life so that you can realize what God is doing in your life and don't lose hope. Don't lose faith because things are tough. Hang in there. Be like the woman that had the issue of blood, and she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, persevere, push through the crowd, because your healing is on the other side. Your victory is on the other side of that. If I could just but touch the hem of his garment, she said, I will be made whole. And I encourage you tonight to overcome your challenge, your adversity, your difficulty, because your victory is on the other side of that difficult challenge. Amen. Amen. Well, that's all I have for you tonight. I hope someone was encouraged to bless, to strengthen by this word. I pray that the Lord ministered to you and gave you something that will strengthen you in the days to come. Amen. God bless you. You can turn your microphones on and sing.
Thank you for listening to First Church Charlotte. If this podcast has blessed you, please rate it with 4 or 5 stars. By doing so, you will help others find our free podcast and bless them. If you're in the Charlotte, North Carolina area, come worship with us at 4929 North Sharon Amity Road. For information about service times, church ministries, and so much more, visit us online at firstchurchclt.com. If you would like to help support our efforts, please text GIVE to 704-445-5353. We pray God's richest blessings to you. Come, worship with us.